so excited to have you back again today. This is Karen Perkins with Karenisms, and we have a fun topic today. And I'm going to have Jace come on, and Jace still does not have a camera. So, Jace, what's it like to deal with the unknown, not knowing when your camera's coming in?
It was, it's confusing, actually. Like, I don't know when it's still, like, arriving. It's been a week, but hoping it will arrive tomorrow so that I can have a camera next episode.
Hey, there you go. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen in life. And
yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yes, of course.
And it's not always bad stuff. I mean, you might win the lottery. Wouldn't that be awesome? Woo!
That would be good.
Yes. And you know, things happen. You expect a shipment. Yeah. It doesn't come. You have a routine that you do every single day, and something happens, and your routine has to change. And people freak out because they're not knowing what to do or what to plan for or what's going to happen. And then it brings them into this whole realm. The biggest thing I see is this realm of fear of the unknown. Because I don't know how it's going to turn out. And I mean, have you ever felt something's coming up and you don't know what it is and what the outcome's going to be or how it's going to impact you?
I mean, I'm a very anxious person, so every time that there's something unexpected that happens, I do not know how to stay calm. So I always have to, like, get to the corner so that I can collect myself again. And, like, that's, like, my coping mechanism. I need to be alone every time that unexpected happens. So, yeah.
Oh, well, today we're going to talk about navigating the unknown and the power of preparedness. And I'm excited for this topic. And there's a lot of things that we can do on that. And so, Jace, listen up and tell me your thoughts at the end.
Okay. I'll go back to the back room now.
There you go. I'll tell you what, navigating the unknown, that is something that really a lot of people struggle with. It's one of those, really, what's going to happen? And fear really is the biggest thing that comes along because we don't know. And we begin to imagine all kinds of possibilities, only usually we don't imagine positive possibilities. We imagine everything that could go wrong. And sometimes things do go wrong. And sometimes we look back at those things that went wrong and we go, that was the best thing that ever happened. And honestly, sometimes we look back and go, oh, that was miserable. I'm so glad it's over with. But it always gets over with. The one thing my mom used to say, well, she said a lot of things, but one of the things my mom used to say is that it will all be all right in the end. If it's not all right, it is not the end. So it'll all be all right in the end. And so let's look at the unknown and ways to be prepared. And, you know, really, the number one way to deal with the unknown is to be prepared for it. But how do you prepare? I want to go over a couple of things. There's so much we could go over, but I just want to hit on a couple of things. The first one is attitude. You've got to change your attitude about the unknown. The unknown is exciting. It's something exhilarating. It's something new. Whenever you take a class, every day you go to class, it's something new. You don't know what you don't know. And that is really exciting and something that's wonderful. And people with that attitude navigate the unknown a whole lot better, a whole lot easier, and a whole lot faster. And they jump back and they're just, things just don't get stuck. They just don't get stuck. And so now, again, the preparedness, changing your attitude, but really a lot of it comes down to emotion. Like Jay said, he gets very anxious. He's a very anxious person. Well, I want to talk about two of the parts of the brain. I want to talk about the neocortex and the amygdala. Now, these are two areas that I feel are the most important to the way we take action. The amygdala is about the size of a pinhead, at right up here, and our thoughts flow through the amygdala, and the amygdala assigns it its emotions and behavior. Now, I want to think about this for just a moment. When you are really, really excited, something exciting that's coming up, maybe you're going to a concert or your best friend is flying in to see you and you haven't seen him in forever and you're really excited, what happens to your body? Well, your hands usually get sweaty, you get the knot in your throat just going, oh, I'm so excited. Your heart palpitates really, really fast. Okay, you get butterflies in your stomach. Okay, now put that aside. What happens when you get really, really scared or nervous? What is the body's physical reaction? Well, your throat closes up. Your palms get sweaty. Your heart just is, oh, you feel like you're going to have a heart attack. It's just pounding so hard. And you get knots in your stomach. Knots and butterflies feel exactly the same way. The heart palpitating is exactly the same way. The throat tightening is exactly the same way. The sweaty palms, exactly the same way. But we get this thought that I am scared, I am nervous, I am whatever. And when we feel those physical reactions, we take it as negative and we take it as an enforcement that I am scared, I am stressed, etc. You can switch the way the mind thinks about it by just saying, oh, my heart's palpitating. I must be excited. And this is a practiced practice, practice. You have to practice doing this. But the opposite emotions have often the exact same physical reaction. So as you're having your physical reaction, think about it. Now, people often say, hey, I can't help it. I have my emotions and I react the way I react with them. Okay. You will react whatever way you normally react with said emotions. Can't change your emotions, can change your thoughts, which in turn change your emotions because you have a different thought flowing through the amygdala. And this is what I call it's a mental shift. It's a mental shift. And what is a mental shift? A mental shift is when you catch yourself thinking one way and you reframe it. So you just reframe it and say it a different way. A great example of this, and tell me if any of you have done this, and do tell me things. Write comments, leave messages, say, what about? And we'll incorporate that as we go. But the messages. I'm driving down the street one day and I merge onto the freeway and I go to change lanes. And as I go to change lanes, I look over my shoulder, look in the rearview mirror. I mean, everything, there's nobody there. And I go to change lanes and what happens? Yeah, somebody's there. They were in my blind spot and they're honking and waving with one finger. And I'm going, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, waving with all of my fingers and thumb. And they're really upset at me because I changed lanes and almost hit them. And I'm really embarrassed and mortified because I did not do that on purpose. It was an accident. And it's almost scary too because it was almost an accident. Well, this happened to me one day, and it couldn't have been more than 30 seconds later when I'm driving down the freeway and some idiot pulls over and almost sideswipes me. And I'm going, you idiot, moron, who taught you how to drive? When I had a mental shift. They were probably as embarrassed as I just was. They probably didn't do it on purpose either. I was probably in their blind spot. They were not trying to attack me with their vehicle. It was purely an accident. Just as when I did my lane change, it was purely an accident that I didn't see that other car. So now I practice having that mental shift. Every time a car went to get in front of me, as I start to think, idiot, moron, I would go, no, how embarrassing for them. I'm sure that they are embarrassed because that just happened. And now I have empathy for this person instead of being furious and frustrated. And because I have empathy for this person, I'm calmer and I have more of an ability to handle the situation that I'm in. So more of an ability to handle that situation. And so that's the mental shift. Now, as I drive down the streets, I see people starting to merge. I just slow down and let them in. And I am just another car or two behind them on the off ramp. So it's not taking me enough time to cause any alarm. So they're just a car or two ahead of me on the off ramp. And sometimes I think they did it on purpose. And so I say, how embarrassing to be them. Because, you know, there's no reason for them to do any of that. Road rage is unnecessary. Okay. So mental shift. That is one way that you can prepare for the unknown, is practice having mental shifts. And you can practice having a mental shift when you are driving to work and you all of a sudden have to take a detour. Instead of freaking out, oh, this is going to make me late. It might. Can't change that. So your mental shift is, okay, I'm going to have to take a tour. I wonder if it's going to take longer or not. I wonder. Instead of going, oh my gosh, it's going to take longer. I'm going to be late. If there's a detour for you, chances are good there are other people going into the office that have to take the same detour. And so when you get to the office, say, I'm sorry, they had a detour on the road. I got here as quickly as I could. And if your boss is one that doesn't understand that, it may be time to consider finding another place to be. And I'm not going and telling you all to quit. I'm just saying, instead of being afraid of that, ask yourself, I wonder what will happen. And then allow yourself to be prepared for the positive. So it doesn't have to all be negative. Okay. So that mental shift. Another big one is going back to the amygdala. We've got the amygdala, the thoughts flow through it, it assigns its emotion and its physical reaction. Well, the neocortex does the same thing, only the thought flows and now we analyze the situation. Now, many, many, many people say you should use the neocortex before the amygdala, you use your analytics before your emotions. And I'm going to tell you that's baloney, because you want to work them both at the exact same time. Because if you put the neocortex first, and let's say you run into a big bear, the neocortex is going to say, is that a brown bear or a black bear or a grizzly bear? And I once heard that a brown bear and a grizzly bear, or no, was it a black bear and a grizzly bear? By then you've been eaten. Okay. The amygdala says, run, and you run right into the bear, and now you've been eating. So you practice working the two of them together. What happens is you say, run to the car and get in and lock the door. So, you know, you're doing both of them at the same time. You're letting your emotions and your analytics bounce in at the same time. And that is something you also practice, but you practice it on a small scale before a large scale thing comes along. And I call them the bears in life, before that big bear in life. And you know, what's a big bear? Maybe you get in a car accident. Now, I'm not wishing this on any of you, so please, you know, knock on wood, where I have some, knock on wood, no, none of you will ever get in an accident. But accidents happen. And sometimes they're our fault and sometimes they're not our fault. We just happen to be in the wrong place at the right time. And there's an accident. And some are just little fender benders and some are bigger. Okay. Well, we can be as prepared as we want with our attitude and the mental shift. But what happens when that happens, and when we get in an accident, we let our emotions take over. When we let our emotions take over, we're in completely a state of freak out, stress, hysterics, whatever. We let the analytical and the emotional work together. It can say, okay, this situation is bad. What are the things I need to do? I'm acknowledging that I am going to be stressed, and I'm acknowledging that I'm going to have emotions, and I am dealing with those emotions now. I'm acknowledging, in fact, I have what I like to call RAFPU, RAFPU. And Jace, if you will type that in so it can be along the screen, RAFPU. R, the R stands for recognize. Recognize you are having an emotion. A stands for acknowledge the emotion that you're physically having. What emotion are you currently actually having? And then the F, feel it fully. So try that again, RAFPU, RAFPU. So we did recognize, acknowledge, and feel it fully. This means if you have to go punch a punching bag, you do it. If you have to sit in a corner and cry, you do it. But you're going to fully feel it. Just let it just simmer. But don't live there. Let it move on. And the P is now process. So you've recognized it, you've acknowledged it, you've felt it fully. Now you're going to process it. What's happened? What can I do differently? How can I prevent this from happening again? Or better yet, something great happened. What can I do to have this happen again? Okay, so you process it. And then the last thing, you, RAFPU, the U is use it. Use it. Now, to use it, you might diffuse the emotion. You might diffuse the emotion. So you're going to use it, you're going to diffuse it. If you're angry, use the anger to propel yourself to action. The Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, they were angry. They felt that anger fully. They processed it and said, what can we do with this? And then they used it to, well, to give experience and knowledge and information to other people. Excuse me. So RAFPU, recognize, acknowledge, feel it fully, process it and use it. Process it and use it. This is something that's important. So when you feel these things come on, recognize I'm going to have an emotion. Recognize that logic is still there and you can logic through this. So recognize both of them work hand in hand. And then acknowledge what emotion are you having so that you can now change your analytical thoughts to match that emotion so that you can now feel it fully. Feel it fully. Now, most of the time, we can go through these emotions quickly. Sometimes something really big happens, be it really exciting or be it not exciting and not good. And when those things happen, be it exciting or not, we want to get caught in that. And the not, we tend to wallow and stay there and stay there. But the good, we get there, but we don't stay there as long as we could or should. Have you ever met somebody that's fallen in love? Have you noticed that everything in their life is beautiful? Now, is it that the world is being better to them? Is it that people are just being nicer? Is it that traffic is flowing better? No, they're the ones that are looking through different eyes. And so everything is wonderful because they expect it to be wonderful. They expect it to be all glorious and grand because they're in love. And it's the same thing putting together your emotions with the analytical. Be in love. look at it from a positive standpoint. Now, that doesn't mean that you say, oh, hey, I just broke my leg, I'm going to be positive about it. But it might mean that you say, hey, I just broke my leg, I will be fine, I will have it heal, I will do whatever it is that I need to do. And in the meantime, hey, I'm going to get out of doing some of the things I may not want to do, like run the 100 miles every day. Okay, that was an exaggeration in case you didn't catch that. So you get the idea. And I'm giving you extreme examples, and there's a lot that are closer to reality. But I want to go to the extreme so that you see how it encompasses everything. So the amygdala, the neocortex, work them together, and then the RAFPU. Recognize, acknowledge, feel it fully, process it, and then use it. Use it. Now, if you can do those things, the unknown is not as frightening, because now you can look at the unknown as an opportunity to do something different, or an opportunity to get something different, to do something new, to do something fun and exciting. And, you know, it's a great time to give yourself the gift. Give yourself the gift of being able to learn something that you didn't know before. Learn something you didn't know before. Now, I can tell you all kinds of stories about the unknown happening to me and how I coped with it. But I'm lucky. I'm really, really, really lucky, because I have practiced dealing with the unknown my whole life. And so now when the unknown happens to me, I'm thrown for a loop for a moment. And then instantly I'm like, okay, so what do I know? Well, I know this, this, and that. What might happen? Positive, just normal, or negative? What might happen? And then I plan for the positive. I prepare for the worst. And I expect to be in the middle. So, you know, I hope for the best and plan for the best. I prepare for the worst. And I plan on being, or I expect to be, somewhere in the middle, because that's usually where you really end up being. So you do that with this unknown, and all of a sudden now you've got this hope of something new and exciting and different. So plan for the unknown, plan for it, plan for the best, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. Okay. I tell people, you're going to go in and ask for a raise. It's unknown if you're going to get it or not. It's unknown how your boss is going to react. But you go in and ask for a raise. You prepare in advance by knowing what it is that you do well and having a rate in mind that you're going to ask for. And if you're expecting 50 cents, ask for a dollar and hope you get a dollar. Expect your plan and prepare for only getting a quarter. But chances are you'll get the 50 cents at least. And when you do get the dollar, which quite frankly, more times than not, you get the dollar. Okay, you get what you hope for in all situations, more times than not. So you hope for the best, and you know, you ask for a dollar and you expect they'll give you 50 cents. You're ready to accept 25 cents, or you have a negotiation tip up your sleeve. But when they give you the dollar, don't freak out in front of them and say, oh, I thought you'd only give me 50 cents. You say, thank you. And then you go in the restroom, and now you can freak out all you want. But always go for the higher, and understanding that it could not turn out, or it can turn out in the middle, or your hopes and dreams might actually become a reality. So that is one of the things to do. Another one that I really, really want to talk about is change. The fear of unknown, the unknown, really comes down to our inability, unwillingness, fear of change. So practice, practice, practice changing every single day. Now, simple things you can do to practice changing if you put your keys on a hook or in a certain bowl in your house, find a new place to put them. And it's going to take you a few days to get used to that new place to put them, but that's okay. You'll get used to it. Now, the first morning, you might go, oh, my keys aren't where. And then you have to go, okay, yeah, I moved them. I moved them over here. Don't move them really far away, though, because we tend to forget where we put things sometimes. So just move it slightly, but do move it to a different position. Mascara, if you wear mascara, yeah, I've seen people freak out over this one. If you put it on, your right eye first, then that's fine. Put it on the left eye second. Okay, next time you go to do that, put it on the opposite eye first. Freak you out because it's different. It's unknown. What's going to happen if I do this? Is nothing. You just did it a little bit differently. If you put on both socks and then your shoes, put on one sock and one shoe and then the other sock and the other shoe. Just do something different. On your way to work or home from work or to the grocery store or something, a path that you normally take, then what I'd like you to do is take an alternate route. My dad used to take alternate routes all the time, and I swear to you, he worked about 2 miles away from home, and he must have known 40 ways to get to our house because he would go a different way every time. And sometimes it would take him 10 miles to get home, and sometimes it would take him two, sometimes it would take 2 and a quarter. But he knew how to get home from all kinds of places. But he took those alternate routes. You'll hear me say, I never get lost. I just took an alternate route to my location, to my destination. And so it's okay to do that. It's okay to take an alternate route. But practice changing things. Practice changing things. Now, normally I wear a jacket and, my top and a jacket. I am practicing changing, being a little bit more casual on these shows. And you know what? My wardrobe is mostly jackets and tank tops and things like that. But I've had to practice. And as I practice, I get used to it. And now I can flip back and forth between the two without any problems. Well, Karen, you're talking about easy unknowns. Yeah, I am. So what are some big hard unknowns? Well, here's one that I've been dealing with for the last month. A month ago, I was sitting in Ecuador celebrating well, gosh, it's a little over a month ago now. I celebrating the 4th of July with my American friends in Ecuador, and I got a phone call from my mother. And my mother said, I need help. I need somebody to come and live with me and help take care of me. So what do I do? The unknown. I don't want to leave my home. I've got everything organized. I've got a routine going. What am I going to do? Well, you know what? I practice dealing with the unknown. I practice dealing with change all the time. So what did I do? Well, my husband and I both practicing. We said, get an airline ticket, go there, assess the situation, and then we can make a decision on if we can do it or not. Because it is life altering for us. I mean, it really is life altering for us. So what do? We got an airline ticket, came out the next week. We've been here for about a month, just little under a month. We've been here about a month. We'll be here another week, and then we fly back to Ecuador. And we have made the decision that yes, we're going to come and live here with my mother. Now, this is a completely alternate life changing experience. Everything in our world is now different. Everything. But because I practiced on all the little things, this great big unknown, and how is this going to impact me? How's it going to impact other people? How's it going to impact my situation? How's it going to impact my work? Okay. All of that is, oh, well, go and figure it out. So we've gone and figured it out. We know exactly what we plan the impact will be. Now, may there be some changes along the way, and we go, oh, I didn't prepare for that one. Yes. But because we practice change on a regular basis, practice change, practice change, practice change on a regular basis, what happens is when these big changes come, the amygdala, the neocortex, they work together. So this is a bear. They work together. I'm able to do a mind shift and say, okay, I've got to look at things differently than I did yesterday. And then I've got to practice dealing with change. And because I've dealt with change on little itty bitty increments every single day, every day do something different. Because I practice every day, now that that great big giant change has come, it's like, okay, it is a big deal, but it's okay. I can handle the unknown because I practiced. Practice change every single day. Now, did I have emotions when this happened? Yes. And I forced the analytical to jump in. But with the emotions, I raffooed. I have to say that right. Raffooed. I recognized I'm having an emotion, and the emotion was mixed. I wanted to go help my mom and take care of her mom, but I was very comfortable where I was at. I had friends. I was doing things that made me feel successful, and it just, I didn't want to leave my home. That was my home. But at the same time, I wanted to go take care of my mom. So those mixed emotions, I had to recognize I'm having mixed emotions, but then I had to acknowledge which two emotions, and I really was having two emotions. One was loss. I was feeling a sense of loss. Okay, I recognize I'm having emotions, but I was having a sense of loss because I was going to be losing the things I had become accustomed to. I was going to lose my comfort of my home. I was going to lose living on the beach. I was going to lose some of my friends. I was going to lose the activities that I did. So I was feeling lost. So I had to acknowledge and accept that I'm feeling lost. The other one is I'm feeling fear for my mother. I don't know how bad the situation is or isn't at this point. So I'm feeling fear. If she had to call me and say, please come take care of me, it's got to be pretty bad. So I have fear and I have loss. So now I have to feel them fully. I cried. I'll tell you what, I cried. I cried for both the fear and for the loss. And I cried separately for both of them. And there are still moments where I come up with that fear or that loss. And I have to step back and say, okay, go ahead, feel it, and then process it. And then I processed it. Yeah, I'm going to miss Ecuador. I really, really am. I'm going to miss it. But now I'm ready for a new experience. And I'm living in a world where I can have a new experience. And this experience is going to be glorious. I am not going to be living on the beach in the near future. But instead, I'm in southern Utah with all of the red rocks. I mean, Zion's Canyon's down here. We've got the arches, and I mean, it's just beautiful down here. I get to live with that now. Now, is that the same as a beach? No. Is it as lovely as a beach? It depends upon how you look at it. To me, yeah, it's equally as lovely. Is it going to be as convenient to live here? Actually, it's going to be a lot more convenient in a lot of ways, and it's going to be less convenient in other ways. But you can see that was an unknown, completely unexpected. And it's been, a little over a month, and we've already gone through all of those changes, and we've already dealt with all of those unknowns, and we're okay. We're okay. There's still some unknowns that are out there pending, and we know that, and we're okay. And I promise you will be okay too. And you can navigate through the unknowns if you get prepared for it. And the three things I want you to do to be prepared for it is I want you to have that mental shift. I want you to start to look at things differently, but use your neocortex and your amygdala together at the same time. Don't do one before the other. Do them at the same time. And if you find you're doing one, invite the other one in. You know, you find you're just being analytical, invite the emotion in. You find you're being emotional, invite the analytical in. So invite them in. The second one is wrath poo. When you're having an emotion about the unknown, recognize that you're having an emotion. Acknowledge and accept the emotion that you're having. Feel it fully, process it, and then use it to your advantage. Use it to your advantage. So what's the advantage to me coming and being with my mom? I told you all the things I was losing. Well, one, I get to be with my mom. She's 92 years old. I get to spend the last 10, 15, however long she lives, years of her life with her. That's just, you know, you can't beat that. That's wonderful. I also get to have Costco 15 minutes from my house. We didn't have Costco or anything like it in Ecuador. I get to have Costco. Now that's easy. Amazon delivers to my door. They didn't have a mailing system in Ecuador. I have friends that live here already, and I'm going to make new friends. Okay? There's a lot going on, but the unknown, do I know I'm going to make new friends? No. But I'm prepared and planning to make new friends. Okay? I hope for the best, prepare for the worst, expect right in between. Expect right in between. So you're going to do a mental shift, inviting in your neocortex and the amygdala, or in other words, your analytical plus emotions. You're going to raft poo. You're going to raft poo. And then the last one is practice changing every single day. Change something every single day. If you wear earrings, put it on the opposite ear. And see, I'm laughing as I'm doing this here because my camera is not mirrored. And so this is really my right side and this is really my left side. And if it were mirrored, it would be the opposite for me as I'm looking in the camera. So, you know, that's an unknown. What's going to happen where and how? I mean, it's a silly unknown, but I'm dealing with this change. I did it on purpose. Okay, change on purpose. You know, instead of drinking milk, drink water. Instead of drinking soda, okay, that's my bad, drink water or drink milk. I mean, just pick something different. Instead of a diet Mountain Dew every day, if you're going to keep drinking soda, let it be Diet A&W root beer or Diet Coke or something else. But you can see, again, just those little itty-bitty changes, practicing little itty-bitty changes every single day makes it when a big change comes along, everything else falls into place because your mind is prepared to deal with it. So the power of preparedness, practice change every single day. The power of preparedness is deal with your emotions, wrath, poo, every single day. The power of preparedness, have a good attitude, make a mental shift. When you see things and it sparks off negativity, anger, frustration, fear, look at it and say, how do I really want to look at this? Now, fear is not necessarily a bad emotion. There is a healthy fear, which is something that says you're in danger, get out of it. But the fear most of us live in is fear of the unknown. And that fear of the unknown is not something necessarily to be afraid of. Just navigate yourself through it. So that is my tip today for navigating through the unknown and the power of preparedness. Jace, come back on and let's talk about this for just a second. Is there
Hello.
Is there anything you can use from what we said?
Well, when you were started to do talk about change, I was like, oh, I am someone who hates change. I don't know what to do with it. And some examples that I have is that I wear the same kind of sandal every day, just the different colors. I wear the same kind of shorts every day, just in different colors. I do the same way I do my makeup every day, just in different colors. So those things that you just talked about on how we can embrace change just on small things, those are things that I'm looking forward to start, just so that I know how to navigate through it. The
Okay,
second thing is,
go ahead.
just earlier this day, I'm in the Philippines, just so that everyone knows. So I'm in different time zone. It's night here. So earlier this morning, we went to a swimming pool just to celebrate my nephew's birthday.
Oh,
And there
cool.
was a pool that's deep enough for me to take a dive. But the problem is, I don't know how to dive, but I want to do it because I want to test if I can really swim or if I'm just pretending that I can swim. The problem earlier was that I also don't know how to dive. So I went out to look, what are the other things that I can do so that I can test if I can swim or not? And then there was a slide. It was a 6.5 feet deep pool, which for maybe for some people it's not deep enough, but for me it's already deep because I'm just like
I would drown if it's over 5'2", you know.
So what I did was I went to the slide, took it, and yeah, I just went in the slide repeatedly and just tested it, and it was fun. So that was a great experience for me.
Oh, that's awesome. And see, that was doing something different. So you did something different. You had the change. And you did the analytical with the emotion. It's like, you know, I wonder what will happen. And that's what I said, wonder instead of freaking out. I'm gonna drown. It's like, oh, I wonder if I can swim as much as I think I can. But yeah, that's wonderful. And I'm gonna give you a tip on the shoe thing. If you have a day where you're not going out in public, well, even if you're going in public, but if you have a day, I would say not in public, put on two different color shoes. They may be all the same brand, but they're different colors. And that's a small start. I'm not going to tell you to go out and buy all brand new shoes, but you know, move your desk around in your office. Just and you don't have to move it more than a couple of inches. It's amazing what a couple of inches will do. So those are some of the things that you can do for practicing change. And I'm going to ask you the next time we talk, I'm going to say, okay, what did you change or do differently today?
Yeah, I will definitely tell you every day what I will do.
Good. Do you ever go shopping at the grocery store?
I do, yeah.
And do you have a routine where you do fruits and vegetables first, maybe, and then meats and then milk or whatever?
I already have a pattern of what I do in the grocery store. That's the
Okay.
thing. So I
Stop
do not
it.
change it.
Stop it. Start in the middle of your pattern.
I'll do that.
It start in the middle. It will throw you for a loop and it will be hard to deal with, but start in the middle. Go backwards. Start at the end and go backwards. Skip the first two steps and then come back and do them before the end. But you know, skip the two first two steps, do the next five, then go back and do the first two and then finish. But you can see those are just little tiny changes, but they're hard to deal with when you have a pattern and a routine. And change is hard for most people. Me, I look forward to change. I enjoy change, but it's because I practice change on a regular basis.
That's wonderful. I hope I have that too soon enough.
You will. You will. Well, Jace, thank you for giving me your thoughts on today's session
Thank
or
you.
podcast or whatever we're calling this. And for all of you, Karenisms is every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And we just go over random things. We'll pick them sometimes in advance, and sometimes we won't pick them in advance, and it will just be random. We always like your thoughts and comments and your likes. So if you're watching this live, don't forget to put in your thoughts and comments. If you're watching this as a rerun or you're watching this later, go ahead and put in your thoughts and comments, because we do read all of them and it can help us with the next show that we do. Or maybe we will do a whole show around your comments. So we do want to hear your thoughts and comments, and subscribe. Subscribe to Karen at, or let's see, it's Karen Perkins, Dr. Karen Perkins, DR. Here, I'm going to write that one in. Got to get to the right place. Put it in as a banner. What is it? Create a banner. It is DRKAREN Perkins, PRKINS. That is my YouTube. That is my Facebook. So you can go in and like me. You can become my friend. You can do YouTube subscription. And we appreciate those things. So go and do that. The other thing I want you to remember is that we have Power Surge on Wednesdays, same time, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And this week, oh my gosh, we have got the one and only magical Jim Cathcart. And those that don't know Jim, you're going to want to get to know him. And those of you who do know Jim, how fabulous he is. And so we've got Jim Cathcart going to be on our show this Wednesday. Be sure and join us for Power Surge. That being said, I really appreciate you all joining in today. And I want you to have a wonderful day. Until we meet again, may you have peace and joy in all that you do. Mwah. Ciao for now.